episode 97 of the TV Dudes podcast, recorded September 1st, 2016. End of summer.
All those summer traditions, Kyle. You know, watching TV, being in jail.
Wait a second. Just annually go to jail during the summertime?
Don't you judge me. I do what I want.
Yeah, we are in Texas.
Yeah.
So I get, like, just wanting to escape the heat.
Yeah, I don't think you escape the heat in jail. I don't think they have air conditioning in jail, Texas.
Really?
I don't think so.
Oh.
Yeah.
That sounds like prison.
Yeah. Cruel and unusual punishment.
Yeah, it's very usual.
Well, there is something weird. You always catch up on TV in the summer, and a lot of times that's, you know, crime-related TV or, like, jail-related TV.
You know,
like,
what my summer project was?
What's
that? My crazy ex-girlfriend.
Ah.
How far along are you in it?
Yeah. I'm done.
What?
Yeah, I watched it through in like a week and a half. I was watching it. It's 20 episodes long, and I was watching, and, like, as it starts ramping up the story at the end, I was just watching and let the episodes go. And I got to the end, and I was like, wait a minute. Was that was season finale? Son of a bitch. I'm done. I don't have any more to watch.
Was it good?
I loved it. It's definitely going on the rotation for next year.
Nice.
Yeah. Were you able to do any summer TV watching, Kyle?
Guys, I actually did a little TV watching before I came over tonight.
You watched TV?
Just briefly.
Yeah.
I long day.
Dabbled.
I had 15 minutes. All
okay.
right.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided to crack on... Real Rob.
Did you seriously watch some Real Rob?
I started the third episode, which is called The Penis Part 2, and I started halfway through Memento style. I'm figuring I watched a 15-minute chunk there, and I'm going to go backwards. Yeah, it's pretty awful.
So wait a minute. Is this the first Real Rob you've watched?
This is the first Real Rob.
So you just went
anything.
You went Maverick style. You jumped into episode 3,
Memento
middle
style.
Of the episode.
Yeah.
Yeah,
middle
I like
of the
it.
Episode.
What if it all starts to come together and you're like, guys, next time you're back, you're gonna be like, you know what, guys, Real Rob really comes together in the end.
You know what's funny though? I can already tell you why. Actually, 15 minutes, guys. I'm never getting it back. I'm never getting that 15 minutes back.
You had that, your eyes just glazed over in a single tear.
It was like
down.
We were watching you watch Real Rob in your eyes.
As long as I don't take it seriously, it didn't happen. Like, but if I say anything seriously about what I saw, then it's like, oh no, he really saw Real Rob.
Real Rob is your nom.
I don't know. Next part, I'm going to go and watch the first 15 minutes from that episode 3. The Penis Part 2.
Yeah.
you got to finish it.
Yeah.
You got to find out what happens.
I got to find out how it started.
Right.
It's a crucial plot.
Yeah. I know how it ends. Do you guys want to hear the ending of this episode?
Yeah, let's hear it.
So Rob Schneider has somehow gotten himself, he's the spokesperson for like a boner billboard.
Sure.
So he's on a billboard holding like a limp gun with boner pills in the background. And he's trying to get some kids to like spray paint over it.
You're not kidding, are you?
I'm not kidding at all.
Oh, man.
In fact, guys...
I thought this is just some crazy improv. You're just making up a terrible plot.
I thought for real that you guys were going to say that, so I took some pictures. No lie.
No.
Kyle is showing us pictures on his phone.
This is the Louis C.K. version of the real Rob. This is Rob doing his stand-up in front of a brick wall. All right. And then this is, remember when I said that he was looking for kids to spray paint over his billboard?
There they are.
That's him dressing up his friend as like a...
As a gangster. Wow, that is
like
not
a,
at all offensive
a,
or racist.
Mexican gangster. If you look...
Oh, wow.
They spared no expense on the detail. That's a teardrop drawn under his eye. Very authentic.
Wow.
Very authentic.
It is as bad as I thought it could be. I can't believe that not only did you spend 15 minutes watching a bit of that show, but you took photos to prove to us you did.
I didn't think you guys would believe me if I didn't bring the photo.
You're right. You're
I was skeptical.
Right.
That's amazing.
I think the most lowbrow, bizarre thing I saw was they literally had a gag where a busty girl is holding a baby. The baby vomits on the busty girl's cleavage, but it looks like semen. And then they tell jokes with this girl and her brassiere. in the foreground for like 5 minutes.
That's pretty much exactly what I thought Real Rob was. I gotta say, I mean, that's exactly what I thought Real Rob was. Just like,
it perfectly lives up to your expectations.
Yeah, 30 minutes of that.
Or lives down, rather.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not seriously talking about it, so it didn't really happen. This is all just like pretend talk.
This has been Kyle Scott's Real Rob Corner. We'll be back next week with more. Oh, the penis part three.
Well, let's get into it, guys. Let's get into the actual episode this week. This week we are talking about The Night Of and Mr. Robot. We're checking in on Mr. Robot, and The Night Of over on HBO had its finale of its presumably only season. It's a miniseries. We'll see. But before that, we are the TV Dudes. I'm Grant.
I'm Randy.
And I'm Kyle.
And Kyle, welcome to being a part of the TV Dudes.
Yes, we have added rotating hosts.
Yeah, rotating.
That's right. You're rotating right now. He's spinning in place.
What?
And you're the first official person to be part of the rotating cast.
This is awesome.
Yeah. So we're glad to have you, and we apologize that you're stuck with us.
just sitting here rotating. Like.
So like I said, we're going to be talking about The Night Of, and we're going to be discussing Mr. Robot, which I'm super excited to discuss. But before we get into all of that, a little bit of house cleaning. And first up, I want to say that if you guys like our show, if you want to support us, you can do that in two ways. First off, you can go to iTunes, or you can go to Stitcher, or you can go to Google Play, however you listen to the podcast, and you can go and give us a review. Actually, I'm not sure if you can do that on Google Play.
Well, no, you can do anything you believe, and I believe in you people.
Is that it? We've mentioned in the past, if you guys want to just name drop us in an Amazon review for any product.
For anything. Sugar-free gummy bears, whatever.
Totally cool. Just make sure that you send a link to us so that we're aware of it, and we'll read it here on the show.
If you were to send an email to Mr. Google. Just say mrgoogle@google.com. I'm sure you'll get to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
That could act as your review to Google Play. Just title your subject or email 5 stars, CC the TV Dudes. We'll read on the air.
Okay, we'd appreciate that.
You know, this might be the slow game, but we could just go back through iTunes listeners and call them out to get Google Play accounts and give us reviews on Google Play as well. I mean, they obviously did it on iTunes. Why wouldn't they want to do it a second
time? Well, if we're talking long game, just send an email to everyone in your contacts list extolling the virtues of the TV Dudes.
Yeah.
Yeah, just review us to all your friends individually.
This would make a great Patreon episode, which is like how to spam your friends with the TV Dudes.
Well, give us a 5-star rating, write us a review, that would help us out. And speaking of Patreon, that is the other way you guys can help us out. If you go over to patreon.com/TV Dudes, you guys can donate. You can make a pledge to us per episode, and if you give us $1 an episode, every episode that we release, you get charged, and in exchange, we give you bonus exclusive content. So at the end of this episode, we're going to record another discussion, talking about whatever.
You know, last time Kyle was here, we had a pretty notable Patreon. So who knows what might happen?
We did a live read through of an infamous Seinfeld spec script about them, the gang after 9/11.
Yes,
I'm not gonna lie. I thought about that for days afterwards. Like, I might still be thinking about it. It was very memorable.
I actually went all out. I added laugh tracks for that and audience cues. I did a bunch of music stuff for that one. And only people who are patrons can listen to that. We also released a free episode last week discussing Stranger Things theories. That was open to everyone, so you get a little bit of a taste for what we do behind the scenes.
A little free taste.
Yeah. So we want to thank everyone that is a current patron and encourage you guys once again to go to patreon.com/TV Dudes and join today. Moving on, Randy, we have an exciting announcement. We can finally announce the opening, the beginning, the launching of the new site.
I'm sorry, I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, my God. This has been all consuming for the last week for at least me. Oh, I assume you as
and
well. Yes,
and I've been talking about this for months. This has been long in the works, but yes, ladies and gentlemen, if you will go right now to beachcopdetectives.com.
Oh, my God, you better know the URL.
Well, we have a Twitter feed and the URL. So you go to beachcopdetectives.com. mm-hmm. you will find a beautifully designed site courtesy of producer extraordinaire Grant Davis.
I'm still sweating on it.
And it's got an art gallery from our friend Nate Bliss, who's going to be doing art for every episode.
Mm-hmm.
And Grant does fantastic colors on that. Nate's been very complimentary about your colors.
Yeah.
He likes that.
He actually pointed me in a better direction on how to color them.
Nice.
After I started. So.
And you will also find my sort of message about why I'm doing this and mission statement for the show, which includes a link to my video of me dancing happily to the announcement that Netflix had Terriers on. So if you want to see me embarrass myself on the internet, that's a good place to go.
Mm-hmm.
And then the first episode, which is a little 1 minute teaser. It's the zero. It's the episode zero.
Yes.
That is a little teaser for what's coming, because next week, September 8th, the 6 years to the day when Terriers dropped on FX, Beach Cop Detectives, episode one.
And we are super excited about it. Please be sure to go to the site, subscribe, follow us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, do all that stuff, and tell all your friends about it.
Retweet us, post links. We would love this to get a big splashy launch, because I've been working really hard on it, very proud of it, and we've got interviews in the can. The first interview is going to be with Tim Minear from Firefly, American Horror Story, and of course Terriers.
Awesome.
It's really going to be a lot of fun, guys, and I hope you guys will tune in.
Also, if you happen to be a patron that we were just plugging a minute ago, you guys get releases early. Actually released the first episode already to them to listen to.
You could listen right now.
You could.
Right.
But don't, I mean, sure, sign up for Patreon and then you can do it. Yeah,
exactly.
That's guys, A-okay with us.
I'm taking a glance at this site. This is no joke. This is like a really nice site.
Grant did a really nice job designing that site.
Thank you.
I mean, I knew what was going to be in the box was going to be special, but now it's all wrapped up real nice too.
We tried to make it pretty for you. All right, well, let's move on to some listener questions. If you like us on Facebook, if you like us on Twitter, you guys can ask us questions once a week, and we will read them here in this segment. First question comes to us from Zach McLernan, who says, one of the chief criticisms / excuses of television quality or perceived lack thereof has been budget. While this has been diminishing over the years, many networks still claim to have to deal with this in terms of creative limitations, citing actor pay increases year on year and not being able to attract enough ratings to justify more money. With all this being said, do you feel this is a valid excuse today for TV shows falling flat quality-wise, or has the budget gap between TV and film become null and void?
I would mostly argue null and void. There's been an article going around about movies and how the summer movies sort of let everybody down. There were a lot of big flops, Star Trek Beyond, Ghostbusters, that movies have sort of moved in this place that all they can do is tent poles. And if they can't do that right, then what are they doing?
Tent poles and franchises, which are basically movie versions of television series.
Yeah. Because I think the thing is, a lot of people have moved to TV. Like, we're getting big movie stars doing TV on the regular these days.
Mm-hmm.
And the example that was used was everybody was talking about Stranger Things and nobody was talking about Star Trek Beyond. Like, the conversation in the sci-fi world was Stranger Things. That was what, so it's like TV is what is the water cooler zeitgeist talk now, and movies aren't as much.
You know, I kind of have a theory for why this is.
Yeah. Is it because movies suck and TV rules?
Well,
TV rules.
Actually, no, not at all. Read this article about loss aversion. When we go to a movie, we pay to go see a movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end, we find out whether or not we paid for a good movie or we paid for a bad movie.
Sure.
We pay for our television services regularly.
Yeah.
So when something good comes out on TV, it's something we got, not something we lost. When we go to the movies, we have everything to lose. But when we turn on the TV, we got everything to gain.
It's a reasonable point.
I like that.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah.
Next question comes to us from Kyle Volte, who says, hey, TV dudes, what would you say is your choice most likely to succeed in the coming fall season? Will Lethal Weapon make it? Will Training Day be another Hannibal or just a Rush Hour? Which time travel show will be worth our time? Will Kevin Can Wait replace Real Rob in Randy's heart? What do you say? What's your big bet for this year?
Oh, man,
I definitely have mine.
Do you? What's your big bet?
Atlanta over on FX. And when does that network count?
That's summer TV. That doesn't count. That's FX.
It starts like in 2 weeks.
I know. That are we counting that as fall TV?
We're hitting fall right now. I did.
Summer's
right,
over this episode.
Oh, that's true.
That's what happens when you put it on the internet.
Yeah, that's true.
We did make a big grandiose title.
That's true. Summer's over. Yeah, Atlanta does look really, really good. I am pinning my hopes to The Good Place on NBC. Oh. It's Mike Schur. Mike Schur made Parks and Rec. Mike Schur made
that's that
Brooklyn
one with
Nine-Nine.
Milo Ventimigliano, right?
No, it's Kristen Bell.
Oh, okay, never mind.
Yeah, Kristen Bell.
Maybe I butchered that dude's name.
A horrible person who goes to heaven by accident.
That's right. Okay, that one does look really good.
And it's Mike Schur. There's the problem with Mike Schur. Sometimes doesn't nail it right off the bat. Like Parks and Rec took a season to get going, and Fox comedies don't get a lot of room to succeed, but I'm hoping that it's going to go because I really, really like what I'm seeing.
I'm concerned that it might be a little bit too high concept.
It might be.
This idea that you can't just enter into a regular mundane world and accept the comedy. It's, oh, there's also this overarching there in heaven and these types of people. All the jokes kind of take on another level.
That's true.
I'm concerned about for him.
Now, on the time travel show, I don't remember what the other one's called, but I know that one of them is called Timeless, and it's by Sean Ryan and Eric Kripke, and I'm putting my money on that one.
Oh, yeah?
Because Sean Ryan and Eric Kripke. Eric Kripke did Supernatural. Sean Ryan did The Shield and also a show called Terriers.
Get off Terriers' dick.
And
it
also has Abigail Spencer from Rectify.
Okay.
As one of the leads, and I love her. So Timeless is the one I'm excited about. We'll see. I mean, curious to see what they go with.
You got anything you're kind of anticipating?
I kind of hope either of those time travel shows work out.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You just wanted a good time travel show?
Yeah, because the thing about good time travel shows is they can be bad for a little bit, and then they can always just go back and change it.
That's so true. I'm also hopeful for... I just lost it. I'm looking at my list, and I've actually lost the show that I was going to talk about. I think Lethal Weapon's going to be terrible. I'm just putting that out there right now.
Aww.
The Lethal Weapon is going to be terrible.
How cool would it be if it wasn't?
It would be nice if it wasn't.
Actually, Designated Survivor?
Yeah. Oh. Curious about that.
Yeah. It could go either way, but if it goes like West Wing-ish,
yeah,
I'd be on board.
There's a lot of familiar faces on this fall. We'll talk about this in the fall preview pretty soon, but MacGyver, The Exorcist, Lethal Weapon. He mentions Training Day, which I think is a mid-season. Those are all like riffs on movies, basically.
Yeah.
Or rebooted TV shows.
Hannibal was good. All right. Next question comes to us from Benjamin Hamill. And this one you got to put on your thinking hats for.
Yep.
The Sopranos, The Wire, and Deadwood are considered HBO's Holy Trinity. What are other networks' Holy Trinities? What would FX's Holy Trinity be? AMC? And how about CW? What about NBC?
FX is the easiest one. We know The Shield is in there.
Yeah. Sons of Anarchy's
I
probably got to be
one. Sons of Anarchy is probably the other one.
Even if we wouldn't necessarily choose it.
Right. And then
Wilfred for the third spot. No?
I might say It's Always Sunny just
I
for
almost
the long
too, yeah.
stay comedy.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of the most long-running comedies there is. So.
Yeah.
And it's been great for way more seasons than it should have been.
Yeah,
I mean, no show should be as good as this is for so long. I think it's a good argument. I could definitely go with those. I feel like there's another prestige drama from them, but am I wrong?
Nothing that's necessarily coming to mind. And what would you say for like AMC?
That's a good one.
AMC
is
Walking Dead, Breaking Bad, and Mad Men.
You'd put The Walking Dead on there?
I wouldn't, but everyone else would.
I love The Walking Dead, but yeah, I don't know.
huge for the network.
What else have we got? Turn Washington Spies? I mean, what does AMC have?
I've only seen the trailer for that, but it looks really cool. Is it not?
It's not.
Damn.
NBC? Friends has to be on there.
NBC is really
Seinfeld.
Hard. I mean, yeah, Seinfeld. I mean, NBC's harder because they've had a lot more history.
Yeah.
Like NBC, you got to talk about ER.
Okay, Seinfeld definitely. Seinfeld is
for sure.
One of those that just like made the mark.
I feel like we're showing our ignorance of like 70s and 80s TV. Greg would be yelling at us right now because there's probably stuff that belongs there.
Yelling from his grave.
Yes.
He's not dead, by the way.
He's not dead, but he likes to lay in a grave in Los Angeles, as people do there.
It's creepy.
It's comfy.
It's a little weird.
It's comfy. That's what I meant. Sure.
Yeah. But what about the CW?
Do they have any?
Yeah, the CW is like my favorite network.
The mother
right
child
now.
Of them all, Smallville. You wouldn't have any of those other ones without Smallville.
You're probably right. You probably do have to put it in Trinity.
He made the mold.
Smallville instead of Arrow, probably. I mean, that's sad, but I honestly think Jane the Virgin, probably.
Gilmore Girls?
Was Gilmore Girls them? No.
What was Gilmore Girls on then?
WB, right? I mean, I guess.
So do we count?
Are we giving them? Yeah. Are we giving them like legacy credit? Because then you got to put Buffy the Vampire Slayer on there.
Party of Five.
Party of Five.
I don't know.
Dawson's Creek.
Yeah, I don't know.
Jeez,
it's harder. But AMC and FX are easier, and I think that's. I think we probably nailed those Trinities.
You know, if we're going back in time, I'd put the syndicated Three Stooges marathons. As on the CW.
Yeah, yeah.
What are their predecessors?
How far back? You feel like that deserves a spot?
Oh, yeah, on my list, definitely.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's hit up this last question. This one comes to us from our friend Koba Fat, who says, "Hi, dudes. With my recent discovery of a VHS recording of the TV show Parker Lewis Can't Lose..." Oh, man, do you remember that show, Randy?
I do. I love that show.
Do you remember the episode that was Parker Lewis Can Lose? They changed the episode title for one episode. It was super exciting. a staple of my childhood sick day TV watching schedule, I was wondering if you guys had any gems from your youth that may have gotten lost in the static of TV history to the rest of the world, but still meant a lot to you. Also, if you could rename the podcast Two Guys, a Girl, and a Netflix Subscription whenever you have a female guest host on, I'd be grateful. Thanks, Cup of Fat.
That's a good call out, by the way. Two Guys and a Girl, Two Guys and a Girl in a Pizza Place, whatever it was at the time. That had Nathan Fillion and
Ryan Reynolds and Jenna Elfman.
It wasn't Jenna Elfman, was it?
Wasn't it?
Maybe it was.
Pretty sure.
It was.
Wait.
It
was she Dharma and Greg?
Yeah.
It wasn't
She
a
was
Dharma
and Greg. Yeah, it was somebody else. But it was really funny. I mean, Nathan Fillion and Ryan Reynolds together were really funny. And I don't think, by the way, that Nathan Fillion was one of the guys. He was like the boyfriend. Like, there was another guy who was the other guy.
No.
Yeah.
He worked at the pizza. Well, I've only seen the poster.
Yeah, yeah.
But he was wearing the same shirt Ryan Reynolds was wearing.
I thought that Ryan Reynolds had a roommate, and then he had two roommates, and one of them was a guy, one of them was a girl, and the girl was dating Nathan Fillion. I think. It's been a long time since I saw this show.
Whatever happened to Greg of Dharma and Greg?
Did
you see that news story the other day?
Didn't he have a little trouble?
Yeah. He got thrown out of the TV show.
Got thrown out of Criminal Minds,
I think.
Wasn't it? Something like that.
Yeah, something.
What? You know, going back, Doogie Howser, M.D.
Really?
Yeah. I love
That's
Doogie
not
Howser,
a lost
M.D.
gem, though, Doogie to anyone.
It's not streaming anywhere. And I bet people don't know about it. Neil Patrick Harris is Neil Patrick Harris, but people don't really think of him as Doogie anymore.
There was this show when I was a kid called, I want to say it was called The Wiz or The Wizard. I'm not really sure which one it was.
I think it was The Wizard because I think I'm familiar with this.
It was a little person, an actor, and he played a like science whiz, but he was also like, maybe a magician? I don't really recall, but I remember watching a few of the episodes as a kid, and I was like, this is one of the coolest shows I've ever seen. And I haven't gone back to check on it since then.
You know a show, and this is not so much childhood as one from a few years ago, but you remember a show Now and Again? Not the one with Billy Campbell that was like Billy Campbell and CeeLo Ward, and they were like 30-something people falling in love. Now and Again was a show where this middle-aged executive played by John...
Hodgman.
No, Big Damn. John.
Goodman.
Yes, John Goodman. He, in the like early episode, he gets killed. He gets hit by a train, and he wakes up in this hot, like, 20-something's body, and he's been saved by this super scientist played by David Palmer.
Didn't they just make a Ryan Reynolds movie based on this? Or Ryan Gosling? Or one of the Ryans?
It was Ryan Reynolds.
Was it?
Selfless.
He was like a spy and had to go on operation with this guy. And all he wanted was to get back to his family. And they wouldn't allow him to have contact with him. It was really good. It went one season, ended on a big cliffhanger. And I liked that show. And it was from 2000, by the way. So it's not that old.
Any gems from your past, Kyle?
Do you guys remember that show on Fox, Erie, Indiana?
Oh, yeah.
I remember hearing about it. I never watched it.
Oh, yeah. It was about this kid who his parents moved in the middle of junior high and his new town. He's like, everybody's out to get me. But everybody was actually out to get him. They were all Erie, as the title suggested.
It's kind of like Wayward Pines.
Where the pines are wayward?
Is that what it was?
I don't know. I didn't watch the second season, but I think that's what happened.
Oh. Yeah, they got canceled and they cut it off weird. I actually did go back and find that, but it's one of those, like, I should have left it buried.
Yeah. Oh,
no. I should have left it buried.
You know what else? Amazing Stories. Everybody remembers Twilight Zone, Outer Limits, but Amazing Stories, Spielberg's thing, had some really good episodes in it. It was another one of those anthology sci-fi fantasy. It had the episode with Griffin Dunne called Hell Toupee, where there was a haunted toupee that was taking people over. It was hilarious. It was so funny.
Okay, I'm sold.
So I've got some news, some WTF news here, but I'm going to start with the other stuff. We'll build to it. So first of all, you remember that movie, Let the Right One In?
Yeah.
Remember that movie, Let Me In, that was a remake of it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you remember how...
They're both pretty good.
You remember how A&E has some great TV shows?
No.
And you remember how TNT has really good TV shows?
No.
You remember how good Teen Wolf and on MTV is? And Aquarius on NBC, remember how good those are?
No.
Okay, well, combine all of that, and you've got the news, which is that they're going to make Let the Right One In, the people who made Aquarius and Teen Wolf, for TNT, because A&E passed on it.
Yeah. I love that A&E's brought in as even they passed.
Yeah.
On it.
So what I'm saying is that if you haven't seen the movie Let the Right One In or the movie Let Me In, go watch that instead of this. If it goes, it's going to be god awful.
That's really sad because, yeah, the movie is really good.
Yeah.
Both versions. I liked the Chloe Moretz one too. And I thought, oh, how are you guys going to follow that one up? I thought they did a great job with it.
Yeah.
I really like the foreign one. Like,
yeah,
I hate to be that guy who's like, no, you got to see the foreign one, but
you do.
You got to see it. It's
yeah,
good. Yeah, you see that first, and then you can watch the American remake, which is pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
a little bit weird. This one is on the WTF scale.
Yeah,
Fox is developing a King Arthur show. Now this makes sense. King Arthur's hot right now.
It's one of those projects that like no one owns. You can just keep remaking it.
Guy Ritchie's making a movie, which is a little weird. He's going to be in Transformers Last Night, which is also weird. But Fox is going to go pretty traditional with it. They're developing Camelot, is what the name of the show is. And they're going to reimagine the legendary medieval ruler as a graffiti artist who teams with his cop ex-girlfriend to battle modern crime and ancient magic. You know, pretty much like the story of King Arthur always has been.
He's a graffiti artist.
He's a graffiti artist.
And he's so... Banksy teams up once again with a cop to battle stuff. Dumb procedural. This just sounds like what they had to do to ruin Lucifer. That's what reminds me of that.
Some people really like Lucifer. So maybe this is... This interesting thing about this is created by Dan Fry and Russell Summer. And the interesting thing about that is these guys haven't done anything. They landed on the 2012 blacklist with their script Bleeding Kansas. You know, the blacklist is that list of scripts that haven't been made that should be made.
Yeah.
And in 2014, they sold a superhero pitch called Eternal to Paramount. So these guys behind the scenes are becoming things. Like
they're up and coming.
They've had some sales. So these nobodies are creating this show. And I'm like, is it possible it's going to be great and we just don't know what the spin on it is?
I mean, this is that tough thing. Like, you hear a weird pitch for a show, and it just sounds so bonkers. You're like, I don't know what that's going to be, but maybe they'll end up making something great. The thing that sends up a red flag isn't actually King Arthur or graffiti artist battling magic. I'm okay with that. When it's teaming up with a cop, as like a procedural format,
right?
That's what makes me go. Eh.
An ex-girlfriend cop of all cops, the worst kind of cop.
Oh, and she's idealistic too.
What?
Yeah, an idealistic cop.
All girlfriends are idealistic.
But the other thing that I feel like, if you're gonna do this, do it in London. It's in Manhattan. Like, it's King Arthur. He's supposed to come back when England needs him.
We don't have that kind of budget to shoot in a different country.
I don't care. Shoot Manhattan shoot Vancouver for London. Whatever.
Hold up a little figurine of the Big Ben clock tower in the background of some
shots. Of every shot.
Yeah.
Do we know this isn't going to be Monty Python style? Like, have they said they're taking themselves
amazing.
Seriously?
Yeah, wouldn't that be awesome?
Be amazing.
Yeah, it was like Sledgehammer by way of Camelot. That I'd be all for. All right. This is the news that for me is the real WTF news, and that is that ABC and Marvel are shipping around a new Warriors show, a half-hour comedy that puts the spotlight on a bunch of Marvel's younger, lesser-known heroes, including the unbeatable Squirrel Girl.
Squirrel Girl's so hot right now, apparently, and I don't even know who this character is. I just know that apparently everyone else that's a friend of mine is excited about her all at the same time, so it's just like some hipster
I've been hearing the buzz, too. I'm not picking it up, though.
The comic's great. The comic is great. It's hilarious.
I've got room for her on my list. She can't come.
So was this a character that was around for a long time?
She's a gag character who sort of got brought to prominence by Brian Michael Bendis. He does that a lot. She was the nanny to Luke Cage and Jessica Jones's kid.
Okay.
And her deal is that she can talk to squirrels, and the gag is that she had beaten Galactus. And she's called the unbeatable Squirrel Girl. She's beaten Dr. Doom, she's beaten Galactus. And the way she does it is by being this sweet, goofy girl who talks to the villains. And it's goofy. I can see a version of this that works. Okay. What drives me crazy is introducing the new Warriors into it. Because that doesn't belong. She's not a member of the New Warriors. See, nobody knows who the New Warriors are.
No, what is the New Warriors? I'm not really familiar with it.
In the 90s, they launched this teen team of New Warriors. And it was basically people nobody heard of. Speedball, Nova, a guy named Justice.
I've heard of Nova.
Yeah, you've heard of Nova.
Speedball?
Yeah, yeah. So, but this was sort of one of the places
they were.
And the rapper Justice. They were fun characters. It was a really fun book that I liked. And ever since it died, so the early 2000s, Marvel's been trying to bring it back. And they've launched it like 3 or 4 times with different casts, and it never works. And then they did it as sort of a comedic thing where it was like a reality TV show, superheroes, which was fun, but sort of forever relegated them to joke territory where I don't think they belong.
Yeah.
And then Mark Miller used them to show off. They were the guns who started the Civil War. Basically, they were fighting a villain around a school. They were terrible at their job.
That's right. That's why I remember Speedball. Yeah.
And the villain blew up and killed a bunch of kids, and the New Warriors got blamed, and Speedball went all emo and became Penance and had nipple faucets on his armor.
I don't remember that part.
Nipple armor.
Yeah. So
sounds very Schumacherian.
I'm annoyed that we might get the New Warriors and they'll be forever tainted in pop culture as these joke characters.
I mean, if it sounds like Squirrel Girl's already a joke character.
She is, but there's got to be sincerity there. If you just play her for laughs, it's not going to work. And it's ABC Studios. I don't know that I trust ABC, even though it's not going to be on ABC. They're shopping it around.
Hey, put a great showrunner in front of it. Put a good cast in.
We'll see.
I mean, I always give something else another chance. I just think that we have such a bad taste in our mouth because of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but hey, they could pull it around.
I want to see Squirrel Girl go to the cinema. I want to see Anna Kendrick do Edgar Wright's Squirrel Girl.
Well, see, that's the thing. Everybody's talking about Squirrel Girl, and Anna Kendrick wanted to play her, and Marvel was talking to her, and it seemed like there was like, oh, this interest. And then
Edgar Wright wrote something?
No, he just made that up.
Oh, because
Edgar Wright's never going to work for Marvel again.
Yeah, I think he's done with it.
Well, it's also, they dated too, so that'd be kind of funny working with his ex-girlfriend and his ex-studio.
But I feel like Squirrel Girl...
On a
perfect
project. Yeah, they're fighting magic in Manhattan, I believe.
I'm just saying, it was trending, people were talking about it, and people were excited. I saw someone say, wow, Marvel found the perfect way to announce a Squirrel Girl project that no one wants them to do.
Aw, yeah.
Bill Nye is coming back to TV. He's coming back to Netflix, actually.
About time.
Long overdue.
It's a new talk show called Bill Nye Saves the World, and he's basically going to be doing, he's going to discuss complex scientific issues, episodes on vaccinations, genetically modified foods, climate change.
So stuff that kind of has a foothold in the political world right now.
Yeah, and he's done that. He's been going around refuting anti-science claims on various TV shows to politicians, religious leaders. So this is sort of a growth of that mission. It's interesting. I think I kind of want to see what he's going to do here, and Bill Nye's great on TV. The interesting thing for me is I listened to a podcast on the Gimlet Network, which is called Science Versus, where this Australian woman does exactly this. She's done an episode on fracking. She's done an episode on gun control. She's done an episode on GMOs. and it's science versus all these myths and that kind of thing. So it's the same thing, but she's not Bill Nye. It's not on Netflix.
Isn't that the sad thing, though? People who don't believe in science don't believe in podcasts.
That's true. They're not listening right now.
No, because electricity's the devil.
You think they're going to keep the same theme song for this show? I mean, they got to. Classic theme song.
Maybe. Maybe they'll remix it like they did the Ghostbusters theme.
There you go.
They're going to get Fall Out Boy
to get Fall Out Boy to do the worst possible version of it.
That's so terrible.
I'm not going to lie. I think I'm on the other side of the line, guys.
What?
I love me my Lady Ghostbusters.
I love the Lady Ghostbusters.
You don't like Fall Out Boy's cover of that song, though, right?
I loved the Ghostbusters movie.
I've heard way worse.
Oh, man.
I've heard way worse.
All right, bye, Kyle.
That song is a crime against humanity.
There's all... What?
Yeah.
That bad? For real?
It's terrible.
Oh, man.
It interrupted my enjoyment of the movie. I was watching the movie. They get to that thing, and I'm like,
I twinged a little bit too, but only because I knew there's dudes like you sitting behind me who are like, no, can't do it.
Yeah, I'm saying it's all female ghost versus what about Fallout Girl, huh?
Oh my god. Too soon, Randy. All right, what's our last bit of news?
All right, our last bit, and this is crazy. This is a link that Grant found. This is so Grant.
Well, I didn't want you to actually read. You don't have to go into the crazy details, minutia of this.
No.
So much as Stranger Things has been announced for season 2.
Yes, I thought that already been announced.
And well,
but I guess it's confirmed for.
They officially released a Netflix video.
Yeah,
and within that video, they had 8 titles pop up.
Yep.
And those are actually the titles of the episodes.
I think that's interesting.
People didn't know that initially.
Yeah.
Do you want to read what the titles are?
I will read the titles, yes.
Okay.
They are, let's see, this is not, so Mad Max.
Mm-hmm. And I know what that one is about. Mad Max, there's a new character named Max for the next season.
The Boy Who Came Back to Life.
And that's going to be about Will, I assume, because he had a... Oh, hey, I don't want to hit spoilers, never mind.
What if it's about Harry Potter?
is that what it is? The Boy Who Lived.
That's going to be a crossover. The Pumpkin Patch. The
awesome.
Palace. The Storm, which I assume is about the X-Men.
Yeah, that's a great crossover.
The Pollywog.
Mm-hmm.
The Secret Cabin, The Brain, and The Lost Brother.
The Secret Cabin?
Yeah.
Kind of cabin in the woods style?
Yeah.
I like what these kind of... Like, it's awesome.
They're great titles.
To have these titles released because... It shows that they do already have a vision. They already have it mapped out, and they're starting filming next month.
Yeah,
for this show. So I'm super excited to see what they're doing here.
I'm very much looking forward to season 2, and I already was. I mean, I've seen some people say that they kind of were a little disappointed that they wanted to be a perfect one season thing, but I think there's every reason to extend trust these guys can do a second season.
Yeah, get out of here.
Yeah,
I want more.
Yeah, Grant wants more.
I never want Game of Thrones to end.
Also, when you see those kids on Stranger Things, you're like, those are the kids you want to see as child actors.
Yeah.
Like, put them in more stuff. More Stranger Things.
They're going to ruin it somehow.
How about Stranger Things season 10 when they're all in their 20s and it becomes like Friends, but with the upside down?
Oh, yeah, like Saved by the Bell in college?
Yeah, yeah.
It's just like Zach Morris and crew always just like flip over to the other side.
Yeah.
When they do their timeout.
Yeah, Stranger Things, the college years.
All right, so we are going to be talking about The Night Of, and then we're going to talk about Mr. Robot. We're going to kick things off with The Night Of, and I want to say up front that we are going to be spoiling things. So if you haven't watched this, maybe skip or accept that we're going to be spoiling it, because we're going to go discuss the entire miniseries.
We're going to spoil everything.
So, Kyle, you've been on with us when we talked about the pilot, and then when we did about a half-season check-in, so... Perfect that you are back this week.
I know. It's almost like this was prearranged.
You're the Night Of guy.
Yeah.
Well, I'll let you kick things off then. What did you think overall now that we have reached the conclusion of Nas's story?
Totally different direction than I thought it was going.
Oh, yeah?
I mean, yes and not. So I thought it was way more like Oz or trying to think of
like
other...
as it goes along, it becomes a little bit more Oz. Yeah.
Like for some reason, I saw that pilot, and I guess I saw where they could do this show, and they literally just take apart different aspects of the same evening.
Mm-hmm.
I really didn't see it turning in to be kind of more of like a straightforward prison show.
I definitely agree. I think what was kind of established in the first episodes led me to believe it was going to be much more reliant on the investigation aspect rather than the sort of descent, the fall of Nasir Khan as and the entire fallout of being accused of something like this and trying to escape.
Yeah, because it definitely became kind of like a transformation for this kid.
I see it almost like The Wire. What The Wire did is it was like examining the system. The characters were all there to be our point of view. So we were seeing what it's like to be on the prosecuting side, what it's like to be on the defendant side, and what it's like to be the defendant. And we were seeing every system they interact with. So we're seeing Nas adapt to prison life. This kid who turns out he's not as innocent as we thought he was, but he's still this kid adapting to prison life and starting to wonder if basically he was better in there than he was out here. And at the same time, we're seeing this sort of nebushy attorney who at least has the ideals of justice in his head and sort of where that gets you in the defense system when you're actually trying to be a defense attorney, and the sort of beaten down, tired public servant that is the district attorney, the prosecutor, and what happens when you're in a system that I think one of the things I loved with the season finale was when the cop goes to her and says, "Look, I think I got the guy who did this," and she's like, it's going to be easier to convict the kid.
Yeah, we have more evidence here.
Yeah. And the thing is, I get where she's coming from. Because she didn't know the kid didn't do it.
Mm.
They weren't 100% sure this other guy did it, but the cop was fairly sure.
Yeah. But at that point, it was like, we've already pushed in this other direction.
Yeah.
You know, if one person loses out, that's kind of the problem of the system.
Yeah.
But the system is still what we have. And I appreciate that they kind of... they're a little bit unflinching about that aspect. They're not trying to like just make her out to be a villain.
No.
But it's like she goes up to different people like the mortician and be like, he's like, how do you want me to say this?
Yeah.
And that's, I completely believe that. Like, you know what? You obviously know who you're going after. You have the conviction of mind to say this is a person you feel should be behind bars, and I will help you make that happen because... behind the scenes, they don't want anyone to get away with anything.
Right.
And one innocent person going to jail for them is worth all the bad people going to jail.
Yeah.
I think.
And I thought Nas's journey was really interesting because he started out and he was this sort of, everybody talked about, oh, how this kid is so stupid. Why did he grab the knife? Why did he do all this stuff? We're like, oh, he's a kid. He's panicking. And that is true. But we also see that Nas, to some extent, was kind of fucked up. Like he had a violent streak and he adapted really well to prison life. Like too well.
Well, I love how you backtrack for a second. I love how you say he fucked up and had a violent streak, because I really do think that yes, that is true. But the cause of that is being he was a high school kid during 9/11.
Yeah,
who was Pakistani, had nothing to do with any of that.
Sure,
but persecuted. Now, bullied. Yeah,
getting his ass kicked.
Yeah,
getting bullied. I mean, I can't even imagine. What that would be like.
That's the thing. When they introduced the notion that he'd thrown one kid down the stairs, I was like, okay, I totally see where there's a different story on this. But there was more than one kid.
And he threw a Coke can at the end,
and they're like, he threw a Coke can at another kid?
Yeah. Like, threw a full Coke can at his head. That's different than...
I still think... I mean, it's such
a...
I threw a
dime at a kid one time. That kind of hurts, right?
Well, I mean, we're getting one person's perspective about another person. He never got to defend this, and that's
true.
It has the intended consequence for us, the viewer, that we're supposed to doubt the... innocence, I guess, of Nasir to some degree.
Right.
And that's, it's powerful. But it is a he said, she said, is this is my perspective on the situation, when he's like, he pushed him and he just walked away cold hearted.
I mean,
we don't know from Nas's perspective, like how it actually played out. And that's intentional, I think.
Yeah.
We're supposed to doubt him. I thought that when we see his sort of descent in prison, how he kind of goes to the dark side. I thought they did a really great job of showing the impetus for this, because
yeah.
he tries in a couple different ways to adapt. He gets taken advantage of. He gets threatened by people. And then he has one person actually...
He gets assaulted.
Try to murder him. Try to burn his bed.
Yeah.
He also gets assaulted. So, like, there was a legitimate threat on his life.
Yeah.
And so he went whole hog into survival mode with that. And I bought it. And I thought that Totoro's line... Like during the trial, like, look at him. He is a product of what happens when an innocent kid has to go into Rikers and survive.
Yeah.
And I was like, that line right there sold to me his entire backstory of like why he did everything he did.
Yeah.
Well, you know, another way that I looked at this is he's a kid who's looking for his place in the world. You know, the show starts.
Right.
This conversation he's having with these basketball players. One of them, no, this kid ain't hanging out with us. The other guy, come on. Yeah, you can hang out. Like, he's looking for that acceptance. Yeah. Now...
He wants to be out of his own culture and his own world. He wants to be accepted by...
Yeah, he wants to be part of the tribe.
The cooler, tougher kids, I guess.
And he found one. Yeah. It's just that it's in prison.
But look at it. You know, he's protected in there.
Yeah.
He's hanging out with a professional athlete.
Yep.
You know, the same thing he was doing before. I mean, he's talking shit to guys that are, you know, twice as big as him.
Yep.
That can't do anything to him because of, you know, this... I would almost say that, you know, he... may have found something in there that he couldn't get out of his actual life.
Well, that's one thing I thought was interesting, and I'm surprised they didn't do this, is that about episode, you know, two or three from the end, Freddy, played by, oh man, I can't believe I blanked on his name.
Michael K. Williams.
Yeah. He mentions that he basically took a murder rap from somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I'm already in here. Why not take the murder rap? It helps.
He got to relocate me.
Yeah.
That seemed like some shit you say to a kid that you're trying to get to, like, do
and
something
that's what
for
I,
you.
That's what I thought was, like, is it possible that Nas would be like, take the guilty plea or take something so that he can get in? Now, if he'd been guilty for this, he would have been shuffled off of Supermax. He wouldn't be able to stay.
Mm-hmm.
But there was definitely a part of me that was like, would he deliberately try to find a way to stay in?
Well, it did seem interesting as well, because... It was a pretty clear-cut case. From his perspective, he must have been looking at this as, you know what? The biggest chance is that I'm going to be convicted for this.
Right.
All the evidence points at me, except for me saying, look, I didn't do it. And so he took the best path possible. He made an alliance that was going to protect him, and then he doubled down on that and made himself valuable to this guy.
Yeah.
And, you know, I get that. He got tattoos to make himself look prison tough.
Yeah.
And he just bought into the whole thing.
That tattoo reveal, that's probably one of my favorite things about the show.
The bad?
Well, yeah.
On
so
the Hanson and then
when
bad.
They first reveal the tattoo, it's not until like an episode or two later where you see that it doesn't just say sin.
It says Sinbad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And because when you first see that part, you're like, damn, like, what is this? This is like
what are
a
you doing?
Teen special.
Yeah.
What's this kid doing? And then it all makes sense when you're like, oh, no, that's his one connection he has to this guy.
Yeah.
And Totoro being like, man, I just wish you didn't get it on that side of your neck, because that's the jury side. It wasn't about him getting the tattoo.
No.
He gets it. He understands the whole situation.
Well, let's talk Chandra.
Okay, yeah.
Because
what a great performance.
I love this character, but they sold her out hard.
It sucks.
The kiss and then smuggling drugs. And I mean, like,
I don't feel like they sold that part.
I didn't buy either of those. No, it's not the actress's fault. The actress did a great job. I thought the story sold her out hard.
I agree. I mean, going back to what Kyle was saying at the beginning, there was a little bit of a shift in what the show is.
Yeah.
And I think one of the biggest ways to point that out is in the first couple episodes, this was all taking course over like 2 or 3 days.
Yeah.
And the pacing was really slow, really deliberate, and like really focused on all these different key aspects. And then all of a sudden it starts doing some big time jumps.
Yeah.
Like while the trial's going on, like, hey, we're done looking at the investigation process.
Yeah.
We're going to trial. We're jumping ahead in days. It just felt like it got going in a hurry, in a way that I'm like, I wish there was a little bit of a, like, easing into certain things.
Yeah.
Like, in particular, the relationship between Chandra and Nas. I would have liked to see more evidence that there was a flirtatious relationship. There was something that would compel her to do such a thing.
Because honestly, I mean, we saw that she broke up with her boyfriend, was kind of emotional. And I got the sense that she was attracted. I mean, there was a little bit of a flirtatious thing going on with her and the other lawyer. Whose name I'm blanking on now.
John Stone.
Yeah, John Stone.
Talking about Totoro?
Like, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Like that I would have bought more handily, but her, like, kissing her convict client doesn't make any sense, because then she's got to be either in a really dark emotional place or stupid, and we've seen no evidence she's in either one.
Well, she's inexperienced.
Yeah.
So she may not be stupid. He did call her on his cell sure. phone.
And, but don't you think, and I'm no lawyer, I haven't been to law school, but I feel like probably in the first week they're like, hey, if you have a client who's on trial for murder and mm-hmm. you're defending him, don't suck face with him in a cell. That's just, I feel like that's early. That's probably law 101.
No, that's true. But when she
maybe
got put
just
on
such
this,
common sense, you don't
they just don't ever teach it. teach the controversy. Maybe you should go ahead and kiss. It's a controversy. We don't know.
There's emotion in there, you know? People kiss when they're getting emotional.
But then carrying drugs for him?
That was over the line for me.
Wait,
I couldn't buy that.
I mean, that's
I think
a,
I missed that part.
She carries the drugs in like the other woman was to get him some drugs.
She pulls out a pill from her bra, but then she pulls more out of her vagina.
Yeah.
In that same scene where they kissed?
No, it was the next episode.
How many episodes of it? I thought I watched the season finale.
Did you see the trial end?
What?
Are you missing kidding the whole me? Episode?
No way. Come on, let's just double check real quick.
What happened with him?
Did you not see the end of the trial?
No, I thought cliffhanger.
Oh, no.
Are you kidding me?
Oh, shit, that's even funnier.
This is amazing. You didn't realize there was a trial?
Oh, no way. So, yeah. I really have not seen the last episode.
Oh, guys. My God.
Where did the other episode end for you, then?
The show ended on a major cliffhanger for Kyle.
Well, no, yeah. I thought it was just, you know, we'd find out what happened with the trial next season.
Oh, my God.
I'm not going to lie. These episodes have been so tense. Like, every time I've gone to watch one, it's been kind of like, going to psych myself up.
Oh, that's amazing.
So part of me was just kind of excited to, like, have it behind me. But, no, we find out what actually happens at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Guys, I'm going to need you to spoil it for me.
Oh, man. Okay, so first of all, we jumped way ahead here. Temperature of the room. Did everybody like this show all in the end?
I really liked it.
Me too. This is definitely in the running for one of my favorite shows of the year.
Yeah.
No, I liked it a lot as well. I think I liked the pilot way more than the rest of the series.
Okay.
Like, I thought the pilot was just something incredible. And all the marketing they did for that beforehand, too. I felt like I was
really
sitting
tense.
There waiting to, like, find out what's going to happen to me for, like, the 3 months before that show even came on.
Yeah.
I think overall, the exploration of what happens when someone gets accused of a crime they didn't do and how destructive it can be, how this just destroyed him, it destroyed his relationships and his family, with his friends, with his community.
Yeah.
Everything is just, like, wrecked and gone. The family is bankrupt. The father's car business and his friends and relationship.
Yeah.
Like, just how it trickles out with everyone.
Yeah, these are
really powerful.
The shattering of all those relationships and that he can never go back. Guilty or innocent, he can never go back to who he was.
And then exploring from Totoro's perspective, like, this guy who is one of those shady, you know, the shady kind of lawyer who
no
represents
feet till you're
has
free.
Come.
Ambulance chaser.
John the Stone or whatever, you know, he obviously has the name for it.
Yeah.
He's got the billboards advertisement, and how he's one of those people that never actually goes to trial because he represents clients that are already guilty.
Yeah. He pleads them out.
And so he's way over his head, and how this is just kind of destructive to him, like, physically, his health, just, like, going through this process. And yet it's obviously a compulsion of his to be this sort of person that represents those who don't have anyone else.
I thought John Turturro was amazing here.
Oh, yeah.
I thought he was great. And yet, every time I saw that credit for James Gandolfini, and remember that was supposed to be James Gandolfini's role, it would have been such a different show.
Yeah, I don't think I want him. I think this one was better because it didn't have De Niro in it. And I'm sorry to say, but De Niro more often than not disappoints me in his roles nowadays.
It's
bad
true.
Grandpa.
Who is he going to play?
He was going to be the Sergeant Box.
The cop.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, that's the thing. Bill Camp,
he's
fantastic
character.
Here. When he's, like, trying to figure things out there at the end, and, like, you get the sense of he's a guy, he could walk away from it all. he's retired, but he can't quite do it because just like Stone on the other side, he still believes in the system and believes in justice.
Yeah, you know, here's my other issue with this, how this kind of resolved. I feel like, in a way, I need a little bit more completion to what did happen.
Yeah.
And I know that, you know, they really want to be realistic about, like, no one remembers, it's a trial, whatever.
Yeah.
But give, you know, you're a TV show. You know what happened. Yeah. Go ahead. Well,
I have two things to say on that. One is, and again, trying not to spoil Kyle too hard on this.
No, I love because when people spoil stuff.
Because
you think I'm kidding, I'm not.
I feel like they
can discuss it.
I feel like they procedural cheated their way out of the end. Like, I'm like, I wanted to ask the lawyer friends I have, like, does this actually happen? Because the whole last minute mistrial, then we're not going to retry, and now he goes free.
I mean, I like the fact that the kiss part.
I liked that.
That was just like dismissed. Like, no, this is still happening.
Yeah.
And so they found out about the kiss.
Yes, they did.
And then they mistrialed at the end.
But that wasn't why.
But not due to the kiss.
Yeah.
But because of some other BS?
Because of some other BS.
Well, it was a hung jury.
Yeah.
And so there was a hung jury, and it was up to the district attorney to decide whether or not she wanted to pursue again with another trial. And she drops it because she at that point,
and
finally
the lawyer brought drugs in her snatch.
Yeah. And say,
that last episode took a turn.
Here's the thing.
Yeah, I did.
Why do that? Why do that with her? Because I thought,
you guys should have quit when I did.
I thought she already
was compromised with the
case. She was already compromised, and they didn't use it.
But that was an act of passion from episode 7.
Yeah.
From where I'm at.
It was a continual fall. I could buy her sneaking in a drug for him to be like get his head straight for that last thing.
Yeah.
One pill. Yeah. But I thought like how they filmed it too.
Yeah.
Like they have her kind of shift in her seat and I'm like, oh no, they're not gonna do that.
Yep.
But then she like pulls one pill out, I'm like, okay, good, good, good. Yeah. There's a little switch. And then she does pull it out and run down there.
I don't understand that decision at all. I don't know why they did it. And I don't see a story reason for it. We already knew she was compromised. And that was another step beyond.
It was one of those rare over-the-top moments in a show that is very deliberately like slow and realistic.
Yes.
And, you know, they have a lot of characters that are sort of like red herrings for who could be the bad guy. Especially like with Dwayne Reed.
Yeah.
And they don't really like, I don't know, they follow through with it, but it's just like one of many different like leads they're kind of grasping like to
Dwayne Reed's name was weird enough. His name could have been Red Herring.
Yeah.
Because from the outset we were pretty sure he wasn't the guy.
Yeah, and it turns out most people were all red herring. So I mean, I don't know. I kind of wanted the resolution of getting the other guy then.
Yeah. Here's the thing. And I don't know if there's enough for another season. But
I hope it's not the same characters.
But I almost want to see, because I could see a season of TV with the people doing it. If you're careful and deliberate enough about it, I want to see what happens to Chandra in this new world. I want to see what happens to Nas. I want to see what happens to Jon Stone from here. I think I know what happens to Jon Stone. I think he goes back to being the same guy he was.
Mm-hmm.
But the other two, I have no idea what happens to Nas from here. I have no idea what happens to Chandra from here.
I feel like having another season trying to have their paths cross in any way would be a bit convoluted.
Do you not think that he might seek her out of prison?
Nas seeking out Chandra?
Yeah.
He could, but why would they cross paths with Jon Stone again? So, I mean, at that point, it all, like, this is New York City.
Yeah.
There's so many people there. That just seems
It's true. I could make an argument. I could see a season where Chandra is disgraced, but she was... You know, she was young, but she was good at the job, where Stone takes her on because he needs her for a big case. Somehow he's gotten enough high profile that he gets a big case. It's stretching, and you've got to have buy-in right at the beginning. But if she's sort of involved with Nas because of their romantic history, and then we could follow them all. Like, I want to know, does Nas become a drug dealer on the outside? Does he try to find a way to get put back in?
He was such a gem of a find.
Yeah.
An actor. I don't know what else he's been in, but man, he was fantastic.
Well, he was in a stinker recently. I think he was in the new Jason Bourne movie.
Riz Ahmed is his name.
Riz Ahmed.
He was in Nightcrawler. He was in Four Lions.
Oh, Nightcrawler was so good.
And he is going to be in Rogue One.
He was in Four Lions?
Yep.
Okay.
Never seen Four Lions.
Oh man, you guys see Four Lions?
Okay,
you know the premise?
Yeah.
Wait a second, is that comedy?
It's the comedy of the four terrorists.
I've seen this. This movie is amazing. He was one of those guys.
He must.
He's Omar in that. Holy shit, he was in the Dead Set. Have you guys ever seen the Dead Set?
Yeah. Oh,
the zombie movie.
He's Reek.
Or show. He's Reek. Yeah. Dude.
Not that Reek from Game of Thrones.
Reek. Different Reek.
All right. Well, overall closing thoughts. I really love the show. What do you guys think?
I really loved it. The big
Kyle, we know
the big complaint I have is Chandra and how it ends in such a big cliffhanger where they don't even resolve the trial. Seems to be that's probably Kyle's biggest complaint.
Well, my biggest complaint is how HBO puts on their thing, watch the complete series when the last episode hasn't even come out yet. Like, obviously the series isn't complete. Don't lead me to think that I've watched the whole show when I'm doing a TV podcast, HBO. Come on.
Oh, man.
You're killing me here.
That's great. All right, well, let's move on to Mr. Robot. This is episode 7, I believe. Am I right about that being episode 7?
Yes, episode 7, because the first one was a two-parter.
Yeah, episode 7, which was Init 5, is the most recent one. Yep. And a lot has happened on this show since
we checked in
the beginning.
When did we check in? Episode 1?
I feel like we haven't talked about it since episode 1. And
yeah. I mean,
we were right.
Yes.
We were right. The fans were right about the big theory. Okay, and this is going to be interesting because Kyle is actually watching this, but he's only on episode 3.
Of season 1.
Oh my God, are you serious?
Yeah, dead serious.
Oh, never mind. Man. I thought you were on season 2, and I was
going to
ask you what you think is going on here.
Oh, spoil it away.
But now we can ask what's going on, and it'll be really interesting because it's nothing like. Yeah. Where do you think season 2 of Mr. Robot is, Kyle?
Well, so I'm thinking... Obviously, all of the Mr. Robot like people, they're all made up in his head.
All of them.
Yeah, yeah. So nobody's real.
Mm-hmm.
Especially not like the people he works with. So then season 2, yeah, I have no clue. I just know that nobody's real, right?
You know, that actually was my theory going in. I thought all the Mr. Robot, the F Society crew, I thought mm-hmm. none of them were real.
Yeah?
They are mostly real.
Okay.
They are mostly real.
Christian Slater, though, he's fake, right?
He's totally fake. Yes.
Okay. Yeah,
they set that one up early. Like, they were definitely doing a Fight Club thing, and they set that one up early for everyone to buy into.
But, okay, the interesting thing in season 2 is we get the reveal that where Elliot is actually prison.
Yeah.
And yet he's conjured this entire thing in his mind about how he's actually staying at his mother's house and going to attend basketball games daily and all that. And what a great reveal that was.
Wait a second. He's in prison in the first season?
In the second season.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was very proud of myself in season 1 because season 1, episode 1, I called the Christian Slater thing.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I caught that twist. I picked up on it. Now I went a little far thinking nobody was real, but I caught that twist. Season 2, I had no idea about the twist. I watched the first episode. I'm like, that was really good. And then I listened to our friend's Mr. Roboto podcast, and they mentioned this theory about the prison. And I was driving my car, and I was like, out loud, I was like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Like, I
read the same one. And once you watch it, and you kind of put all those pieces in place, and you're like,
oh,
wow.
Oh, my God.
That totally makes sense. Yeah. And they do a great job in this most recent episode of kind of going back and showing you how everything that you saw fit into this other reality of what it actually was going on and how Elliot had skewed it in his mind.
So I know some people, including our friends at Mr. Roboto, not all of them, but I know Mike Moody, a little bit disappointed about the reveal that it's prison. He was kind of hoping it was actually like a metaphor. And there is this concern that is Mr. Robot always going to be the show about what's
an unreliable
twist?
Narrator?
Yeah.
I think it's a show that does twists, and mm-hmm. I think it does it well. I have no problem with that.
Yeah.
And I think that this is one of those problems of being a really engrossed fan.
Yeah.
If you are a fan that's just a casual viewer, you aren't super engaged in the water cooler talk, and you're not going to Reddit to read all the theories, or listening to podcasts, then I think you're fine. You avoid any of this speculation on what certain things could mean.
Yeah.
And you just kind of watch it a little bit on a surface level, a little bit of an analytical element. But I don't think a lot of people would have caught on about the whole prison aspect.
I don't think I would have. It wasn't even in my mind.
And in fact, it might have been an even more exciting reveal, not having known that, than what we got. And it was just like, oh, cool. It was what I thought, rather than mind blown.
So the Elliot stuff is interesting, and I want to get back to it.
Yeah.
But first, I want to talk about putting Elliot in prison really pushed the other actors to have to go to the fore. So Angela's story at E Corp
mm-hmm.
And sort of her transformation, I think, is really fascinating.
Isn't it great? Like, it's so good. All these characters, now I care about them because we took the main character out of play for so long.
I didn't know who Mobley was. I didn't know who Trenton was.
Yeah.
And now I do.
It's smart about this in a way that a lot of other shows failed to do.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, Dexter is always my go-to show to talk about how it's a one-man cast, basically.
Right.
There's these other characters, but you don't really pay attention to them because it's all about Dexter Morgan, and he's the most compelling, interesting character.
Yeah.
Take him out of play and make the other ones have to carry the show and see if you can still do it.
Yeah.
That's an interesting thing, and they clearly did that. They have episodes in this season, a couple of them, where you don't even see Elliot.
Well, that's the thing I want to talk about. After the big reveal, they did a very ballsy thing where they spent the next week not telling us what that meant.
Yeah.
Like, not at all. We get the big reveal, and then it's a Darla episode.
Darlene.
And Darlene carries it. She was, I mean, Carly Chaykin has been great from the outset.
Yeah.
But she was great here.
And what'd you think about that? Like, she's kind of crossed the Rubicon. So
I thought she was going to do it the moment it showed up. It seemed like Darlene's always seemed, just like Elliot, she's unhinged in her own way.
Yeah, but she doesn't necessarily strike me as a murderer. Like, but put in a situation where it's that or losing everything else, I mean, you know.
It was the right call, I gotta say. I mean,
and it's not like she murdered someone completely sympathetic.
No, not at all. I also want to talk about Grace Gummer playing Dom.
Yeah, she's fantastic and everything.
I love her. I love that she's pursuing this case. She should be the antagonist, but she's super sympathetic. And we've seen this flip side of her sort of lonely life.
Mm-hmm.
And that this is all she has.
Angela is really interesting as well because she, in a similar way to Elliot, does these long pause stares before she answers anything.
Yeah.
And also we've seen this sort of transformation where we didn't know where she was going because initially, she was this kind of shy, mousy, shut-in friend character to Elliot. Now she's taking on this empowered role. She's trying to grow herself as a person. And we think that she's just a complete opportunist. But it turns out that she's actually she's trying to climb a social ladder in order to be more powerful and actually expose things as a bigger whistleblower.
She's trying to do the same thing Elliot did, but she's doing it within the system.
Except that they show her do some hacking, actually.
Yeah,
episode, which I like it that they've established enough in previous episodes to kind of justify that. Like, she would know how to do it at that point.
Have you noticed? Well, she worked at the security company with Elliot. She was not as good as him, but she did work in computers. She's not an idiot. She knows.
Yeah,
that.
But she wasn't doing that side of it. Yeah,
she's also got her experience working in computers on the newsroom.
That's right. Yes,
that's the wrong character.
Wait, Grace Gummer? Wait,
no. Now we're talking about Angela.
Oh,
character.
Angela. So the other thing I noticed, and this show became Women Run the World because Angela's story, Darlene's story, Joanna from Joanna Tyrell,
yeah,
and Grace Gummer,
Joanna Welick.
Joanna Welick. Why would I say Tyrell Welick? Right.
Yeah,
that's what I was going. And then White Rose.
Yeah.
So it's all.
It's good. And I mean, you still want Elliot because he is overall the most interesting character.
Sure. Yeah.
He's crazy and he's apparently the puppet master. I like that this episode had all these characters kind of falling apart, losing control, getting backed into corners. You see in this episode, Angela, who thought she was kind of finally getting the pieces of the puzzle for the incident that had her dad die at this company at E4. Or was it her mom? I think it was her mom. Yeah. That she was finally getting the pieces of the puzzle together, and then she gets confronted by Grace Gummer's character.
Dom.
And suddenly, she's a little bit screwed. And then meanwhile, we have the Darlene area where she's kind of getting in trouble with all of the with the
Dark
FBI
Army.
And the Dark Army, like on both sides, kind of coming after her, and she doesn't know if she can leave the house anymore.
Yeah,
Trenton and Mobley are both kind of on the run.
Yep, and then, we don't know. Well, we don't know that. previous episode showed Mobley looking up at the door and somebody comes in.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know that it's Trenton.
All these strangers coming indoors, man.
Yeah.
Like, that was the big cliffhanger of season one, like the knock on the door.
That was my guess, by the way. And then my guess was that the cops were knocking.
Yeah.
I didn't know why.
It was a great reveal.
I do want to mention one of the things about Angela, too, is that we've been seeing Michael Christopher's character, who I also love, the guy at E-Corp.
Mr. Price.
Mr. Price. He's talking with White Rose, and it seems like this whole setup was to get Angela to do what she's doing.
No, I thought that what they were saying was that they wanted Angela to, he was able to buy her off and make her kind of buy into the corporate machine.
You don't think White Rose is...
And so she's not a risk to that state, that water station or whatever, waterfront thing.
I don't know.
Which is a key component to this plan.
Maybe. I don't know. I got the sense that White Rose is basically running Price. Price knows, does he know White Rose or does he know the minister?
He knows Young, the minister, his alter ego.
And the minister's not the real... White Rose is the real identity.
Yeah.
The minister is her cover. So
true.
I think that White Rose is running a game on Price. I could be wrong. I don't know.
I got that Jung was... Young? Is it Jung?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Minister Jung, yeah.
Yeah. I'm not sure if he was genuinely upset at the threat and of the bailout.
I'm not sure.
So... we have this other issue with Elliot and Phase 2 here.
Yeah.
And apparently Elliot was doing the Dark Army and saying, hey, what's Phase 2? But he's the one who's orchestrating.
They're like,
it.
What do you mean? What do you mean, what's Phase 2? We want to know
another very
you.
Fight Club thing with Project Mayhem and not knowing what Project Mayhem is at a certain point. Well, but apparently he's orchestrated this whole thing.
Well, and now we can see that he occasionally gets locked out and doesn't know what he's saying, which we already knew, but we've never seen it from Elliot's point of view.
Here's the big question, though.
Yeah.
With what we were seeing in this episode, both he and Mr. Robot seem to be confused by what's going on with their system. Do you think what they're setting up is a third personality taking over for him? Here's a better theory.
Yeah.
I read this, so I can't take credit for it.
Okay.
But we don't get Tyrell Wellick anymore this season.
Yeah.
What if Elliot's taking on Tyrell Wellick as his third personality?
You know, I always had the theory that Wellick was his personality anyway.
Yeah.
And we do have this big cliffhanger where she shows up. She's like, hello, Ollie.
Mm-hmm.
I still think it's not impossible they could drop that bombshell that he's been Wellick the whole time.
He's not. There's no way.
They could pull it off.
But I do think it's possible that he did legit kill him.
Oh,
and he takes on... him as a persona because that's what he does. He did that with his father.
Yeah.
And he could do that with Tyrell Wellick, and that's what keeps him on the show.
Oh, is Christian Slater his dad?
Yep.
Nice.
Surprise.
Oh. yep.
One more thing.
Okay.
What about Alf?
Where's Alf? Oh, yeah, we didn't talk about that episode. I talked about that episode on
Mr. Robot. Mr. Roboto. Yeah. I love that whole thing.
Oh, man. Hey, guess what? You're going to see an appearance of Alf.
Wait,
in this
the
TV
Alf?
Show.
Alf, yes.
The Alf.
What?
Voiced by the guy who voiced Alf and did the puppeteering.
Yep.
The original people.
Oh, and Alf murders somebody.
Oh, yeah, and that happens.
Do we get any scenes of him with, like, at a computer? Like, oh, I can check on my email.
No computer use by Alf.
No eating cats or anything.
You know what I think is funny? Is Kyle right now doesn't know if we're full of shit or not.
I took some pictures on my phone.
You guys, you got the evidence, right? That was the idea.
I'm super excited about this show. I think that I see how this could be turning a lot of people off. They're not liking the pacing. But I think that this is a show that is really well thought out. It knows how to take its time and plan some good reveals.
Yeah.
And certain shows need to be digested in the manner that the showrunner wants to tell it. And I love what Sam Esmail does. His direction, the cinematography, the shots they get, the music composition, and then all the plotting, the characters, how it all weaves together. I think this is masterclass television.
I agree.
And I really want to see this continue. So I hope that these people that are bellyaching about the plot being a little slow or them feeling a little bit let down by either big twists or what was the other thing you were saying?
Not knowing if it's reality.
I hope that doesn't turn anyone away from watching the show.
Well, they've already renewed it for season 3.
I know. But I need all six.
But the thing that's interesting is I was sort of falling out of love with the show a little bit. I stopped watching. After episode two of the season, I let a few of them build up.
Mm-hmm.
And then I plowed through episodes 3, 4, and 5 and fell right back in love with it. And now I'm just, yeah, totally on board.
I'm so obsessed.
Yeah.
It is one of those shows that I can go and read theories about. And that's my cup of tea.
Yeah,
that's
yeah. That's all your thing.
That's my jam, scones, and cup of tea. It's very British, but that's all me.
And see, I am all about the good character work and good plotting, and it has both of those as well. And fantastic visuals. I mean, this is, like you say, this is the heir apparent to Breaking Bad, I think. Mm-hmm. If we have a show right now that's the heir apparent to Breaking Bad, like must-see TV, smart TV for people, Mr. Robot is it.
Yeah. Well, Kyle, I hope that we've intrigued you.
Can I have one more spoiler?
Let's see. What else do we have?
Well, I was going to...
Yeah.
Do they? Does he get to wear the hoodie in prison? Or does he have like a special uniform?
You know, here's the weird thing. In a way, yes. In a way, nice. He does wear the hoodie in prison, right?
But we find out... He never had that hood on in the first place.
Yes, that's
the hood
exactly
was
right.
Always down.
That's actually right.
Even though he thought it was up.
Yeah.
Here's my complaint. That guy has great hair all the time, even in prison.
Yeah.
What's up with that?
Well, you know, have you seen Orange is the New Black? They have hairdressing in prison.
Yeah, but he must have been going every day to have that nice tight shave on all the sides.
He was just trying to keep his routine up, Grant.
I guess. Okay, fair enough. He's very routine oriented.
Every day, 7:15, go and buzz the sides.
I love this show.
7:17, gummy bears in the commissary.
He's got pretty cool hair.
Gotta have gummy bears.
7:19, go take a shower.
That's they got gummy bears in prison?
In the commissary. I'm sure the commissary has everything, right?
Oh, man.
Sugar-free gummy bears.
Aww, prison doesn't sound that's that bad. That's a point. Yeah. That is hell. All right. Well, let's call it there then, folks. Kyle, you need to watch this show. Get on,
Mr. Robot. I've watched a little.
Yeah.
I'm gonna watch a little more.
You need to catch up because
you should also watch The End of Night Of. It's pretty good.
Well, yeah, I'm gonna catch that as well.
Hey, welcome to the TV dudes. Get to work.
Blah, blah, blah.
Your homework. But thank you so much for joining us.
No, thank you guys for having me back.
Thank you, Randy.
Thank you, Grant.
And thank you, listeners. Thank you, patrons. Once again, we want to say, hey, go check out our new project, BeachCopDetectives.com. Go like it, like the Facebook thing, tell your friends about it, and subscribe.
Check out this website.
1 week until the new episode.
I'm excited.
By the way, what episode number was this? 98?
We are on 97, my 97? Friend.
97?
We're about to hit our big 100.
Do you think we're going to do anything special for the 100th episode? Like, you might reach out to somebody who hasn't been on the show in a while?
Yes.
You think?
I think that exact thing is going to happen.
Huh, interesting.
Yeah, we'll get Greg on the show.
What are you guys talking? What?
I was being cryptic.
Okay, let me delete that. All right, until next week.
TV Dudes out.
I was going to give it to Kyle.
I finally remembered.
Give it to Kyle.
TV Dudes out. You already said.
Wait.
That's two.
TV Dudes is an independently run podcast. It is exclusively listener supported. If you'd like to help us out, go to patreon.com/TV Dudes. You can like us on Facebook and on Twitter at TV Dudes, and help us out on iTunes by giving us a 5-star rating and writing a review. To find out more about us, go to thetvdudes.com. I'm Grant Davis. Thanks for listening.